Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Well, hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, I don't have any comments today, and that's a good thing because we didn't get finished last time. On our last podcast, we began our discussion of Charles Krauthammer's essay, The Bush Derangement Syndrome. Now, we didn't finish. So today, James Brandon is back with me in the studio to continue our discussion. So welcome back, James.
Thanks for having me.
So let's continue with our discussion of the Bush Derangement Syndrome. And we were talking about, on the last program, we just finished up talking about how, the disease was spreading, and it spread it into Hollywood.
Right.
Because they already have compromised intellectual immune systems.
As Krauthammer so decisively wrote.
Yeah. I mean, he can pack a lot into a paragraph.
He can.
It's just amazing. All right. Now, the next paragraph down, he gave it this an acronym, BDS, Bush Derangement Syndrome. But then he changes it on us here pretty quick. All right. So the thing is, I think we want to slip into now is this next paragraph down. He says, it is true that BDS, or Bush Derangement Syndrome, has struck some pretty smart guys. And so now going to start hitting some of the really smart guys out there. One is Bill Moyers. Now, if anybody doesn't remember Bill Moyers, he is still alive, by the way. I think he's in his 80s. I think he might be like 85, but he's still doing interviews. I just looked at one doing research on this essay. But for all of you out there that don't remember, he is an American journalist. He's obviously still giving interviews. He just gave one on November 10th, 2019. So actually, for 85, he doesn't look real bad. I mean, he actually looks pretty good. But we have to remember, he is a Democrat. And he did do a lot of television on public broadcasting. He was definitely around when President John F. Kennedy was around. I think he was also a special assistant to President Lyndon Johnson. So he's had an awful lot of experience. And I think he, at one point, he was a really trusted journalist. He did have a program called the Bill Moyers Journal. And I know I remember listening to him a while ago, but I never thought he was still around, but he is. What Charles Krauthammer is doing here is he's taking him to task for him as a journalist and a Democrat going after President Bush. And here he says in the essay, it's true that BDS has struck some pretty smart guys like Bill Moyers, ranting about a right-wing wrecking crew engaged in a deliberate, intentional destruction of the United States way of governing. So does that sound familiar to today?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
like President Trump is ruining the government.
Yeah. I mean, and pick anyone. I mean, he was able to kind of pull out a couple here because, seems like in the last, well, this was 2003, So in the last 16, 17 years, we've come even further than that, where I feel like back then we at least perhaps expected a certain level of bipartisan viewpoint from our political commentators. Obviously, that they're going to be a member of one party or the other, but when it comes to what they're putting out there, you're going to expect, you think it's reasonable to expect a certain level of even-handedness. I don't think anybody expects that today.
No.
We've just completely gone the other direction where, you know, we pick a side, we stick to it, we only listen to opinions. You know, I say we, I'm not including myself necessarily, but, you know, you pick a side, that's your side. I listen to these people, I care about these people's opinions, and I will not ever entertain any opinion from the other side or consume anything from the other side. It's just a very sort of 1v1, just incredibly hard line between the two parties that cannot be crossed, and we expect that from our journalists now.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of journalists accuse Trump of being authoritarian.
The amount of comparisons to Hitler is just honestly shocking.
It is.
I mean, and what always cracks me up is when there are still some people alive who remember what life was like under the Wehrmacht, and they say, well, you know, it's nothing like living under Hitler.
Hitler, right.
But those people are dying out, and pretty soon we'll hit the point where, you know, you can say things like that and there's nobody really to fact check you from a first person primary source type of view, and you can just sort of, again, like we said in the last program, speak things into existence. Just
right.
Well, he's like Hitler.
Well, I, when I got on the internet about Bill Moyers, I did find this video clip from November 10th, 2019, and he was on CNN. It's just a really short video. So he started talking. I mean, he talks with such reason, and he has such a presence about him. You know, he actually went to Baptist University. He actually studied to be a Baptist minister. And then he went on, I think, for other graduate work in journalism. But he was trained to be a Baptist minister, so he has a real presence about him. And he started talking about the question that the interviewer asked him, are you concerned about, you know, the government in America and its potential destruction? He said, yes. He said, it's just all the lying going on and all the – and I'm thinking, wow. He's going to talk about all these people that are lying. I thought, wow, I'm going to listen to this. It's more interesting. And he said, yes. He said, we really need to get people out to listen to these impeachment hearings, because it's not a witch hunt. He's saying it's exposing all these lies, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a second. Who's lying?
I mean, in a way, he's right. It is. It sure is exposing a lot of lies.
Yeah. But he doesn't see it on the Democrat side at all. He thinks these impeachment hearings, they're exposing the lies in the Trump administration. But I would think if he was really reasonable, he's got to see how much everybody involved in these things are lying.
It's the derangement syndrome, as Krautheimer said. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it seems like we've reached the point where two opposing groups of people with opposing viewpoints can look at the same set of facts and draw completely opposite conclusions from looking at the same thing, which just, I think, it tells you how far we've come and how divided we are in our viewpoints as a country, that we can, you know, you can put a Democrat and a Republican politician in a room and present them with the same information, and they will draw different conclusions from it.
Yeah.
You would think, you know, it's like, okay, well, here are some facts. Well, let's make a logical conclusion from that. But it's just so partisan now.
But anyway, I was just really disappointed at watching this, that it's like everything going on with the impeachment hearings is absolutely perfectly true. And everything going on in the administration is absolutely, you know, just wretched lies. And the thing is, that's just not even reasonable.
No.
Right.
Okay, you wanna prosecute a man for these things? And that's kind of the point that President Trump has made. He's like, quid pro quo. I'm not doing anything different than anybody else has ever done in the history of foreign relations in this country. Foreign relations, foreign policy is always a quid pro quo. There is always a, okay, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. We're not just going out there and doing things for other countries, you know, because we feel so magnanimous and,
right.
You know, we do things and we get things in return. That's just the way that the world works. And so then to be like, well, we're going to prosecute you for having this sort of unspoken quid pro quo, it's hypocritical.
Yeah, it is.
And I think that's the issue.
Well, and going back to the authoritarian, I mean, I think the Democrats are just as guilty as being authoritarian.
Oh, for sure.
Because they will not, they won't accept anybody's opinion. It's our way or no way.
We are right. We are the morally superior
right
party, and we, I guess both parties sort of approach it that way. Yeah. Each one feels they're morally superior, but it's complicated. And the issue is that we take complicated issues and we try to reduce them down to, well, I'm right and you're wrong. And right. It's generally never that simple.
One thing that I do think is really, let's say, on the positive side of all of this is that the way the Democrats and media are focusing on everything, it exposes them too.
Right. They're unwittingly for the group of people that has a healthy dose of skepticism about everything, they're digging their own grave in a way.
Yeah.
They're kind of exposing their own tactics. And it's this it gets back to this derangement syndrome. They're so desperate to damage his chances at winning the election in 2020 that they're in a way willing to fall on their swords.
Suicide.
It. Yeah.
They're committing political suicide.
Yeah, and it's just, okay, well, anything. Yeah. Anything that we can do to damage public opinion.
For me, like I said, I'm not necessarily very politically schooled, but it doesn't take a lot to understand what's going on right now. I think it
makes it easier to understand.
It does. It really does. Well, the other thing in this paragraph on the smart guys, he talks about Paul Krugman, who is, he's still very definitely alive. He's still working for the New York Times. He's a New York Times journalist. And I guess Paul Krugman really came out against the president, President Bush, and he had a book called The Great Unraveling. And that he really went after Bush, quite a bit, about the large deficits. And as Mr. Stephen Fleury brought out on the program today, And really, he's been bringing this out in the last several programs, is that, there is this surge. There's this upsurge for the, the stock market. There's people are doing well from all that. But no one is talking about the debt.
No.
And
Neither side. It's the one bipartisan policy we have. No one wants to reduce spending. Except, I suppose, there are a couple I saw Ted Cruz talking about, some of that a couple of weeks ago, but in large part, the sort of the popular politicians, the ones that really have a lot of support, it's an unpopular issue, and it gets back to entitlements, which is a whole different topic that we could have several radio shows on.
But one thing, this is probably third paragraph on page 75, in some ways, Paul Krugman. Again, I haven't read the book. It was printed, I think, just around 2003, but here's the thing that's kind of shocking about it. He goes on to say, Paul Krugman, whose recent book attacks the president so, I guess, virulently, that Krugman's British publisher saw fit to adorn the cover with images of Vice President Cheney in the Hitler-like mustache, and Bush stitched up like Frankenstein. Nonetheless, some observers took that to be satire. Others wrote off Moyers and Krugman as simple aberrations, the victims of too many years of neurologically hazardous punditry. But those are serious things. It's like we were just talking in the last program about calling President Trump a fascist, calling him Hitler style.
Right.
But this has been going on.
It has been going on, yeah. And again, it's nothing new. I think we mentioned that in the previous program, that it's nothing new. This is a strategy that goes back. In my knowledge of history, which as far as American history and this sort of thing, it doesn't stretch back that far. But it's been going on since Nixon. I'm sure it happened to some extent. Yeah. I know a little bit of how that even, elections were kind of even that way in some of the earliest elections in American history, where they were really ad hominem. very much mudslinging politics in some of the earliest elections as well. After we got kind of through the first four or five presidents, I think it kind of devolved a little bit in certain presidential races. It's not new.
Yeah.
And that's because human nature is not new.
No.
And love of one's own and distrust of the other is not new.
Yeah, that's why when we get into our next essay is going to
we'll
keep that secret to the next program. But anyway, we're going to delve some more into that. Maybe we'll have a little bit of time in the rest of this one. The other thing I think it's interesting, again, I just wanted to, I made a little note for myself on the side of the essay. It's just kind of like the same old story and what's going on. But then he goes down and talk about Murdoch derangement syndrome, MDS. And the point is, he's talking about Dean again, and again, I guess he's going after him because he was a Democrat frontrunner at this point. It says, Dean has never opined for a living and has no detectable sense of humor. Even worse is the fact that he is now exhibiting symptoms of a related illness called Murdoch derangement syndrome, in which otherwise normal people believe that their minds are being controlled by a single very clever Australian. And he's talking about Rupert Murdoch and Fox News, essentially. Yeah. And of course, who was Charles Krauthammer a commentator
for
Fox News. And then he goes on at the bottom. This is Chris Matthews. Of course, we know Chris. I mean, years and years ago, I thought he was pretty sane, but I can't even stand to listen to Chris Matthews anymore. He's just gone wacky. So that's my opinion, everybody out there. But anyway, he says, Chris Matthews asked Howard Dean in an interview, would you break up Fox? Howard Dean. Now listen to this. This is so today. On ideological grounds, absolutely yes. But notice there's dot, dot, dot. I don't want to answer whether I would break up Fox or not. What I'm going to do is appoint people to the FCC that believe democracy depends on getting information from all portions of the political spectrum, not just one. So here he's making a political promise. Dean is saying, I'm not saying I'd shut down Fox.
But I'd stack the FCC with like-minded people. And again, nothing new. What do we see? What do we see today that's in the news? Facebook. That's been, fake news. That term that has become, the term of the last 4 years. Yeah. what are we still talking about? We're still talking about partisan media.
It's amazing. But the thing that's really funny is, I think our society is so distracted right now by iPads, by cell phones, by
social media.
It's so distracted. They're forgetting this history.
Well, we live in bubbles.
Yeah.
We chicken and the egg again. We subscribe to sort of lifestyles where we can kind of live in an echo chamber of opinions, where we can choose to surround ourselves with people that only think the way that we do. We can choose to consume information that only reassures our own beliefs, and we don't sort of, people don't challenge their way of thinking. They don't challenge their ideas. They pick a side. In a way, it's kind of like sports. Like, I pick a team and I'm going to champion that team no matter what they say or what they do. I'm a Cubs fan for life, or, it doesn't matter what they do or what they say. I'm just always going, I've subscribed myself as a believer in this. And so we get these echo chambers where people just are never confronted with opinions or ideas that challenge their thinking or their reasoning or their beliefs. I mean, you look at Mr. Armstrong in the autobiography, and the real shakeup in his life came from being challenged on things that he had just always believed and had never even thought to question. And did a little bit of digging into him and realized, oh, maybe it's not quite as simple and straightforward as I'd originally thought. I think we've created a digital world for so many people where they don't ever have to challenge themselves that way.
Right.
It's all just everything. I agree with everything around me.
Right. And I think there's people have it. As, I think still in America, there are a lot of people have it so good that they don't see that it affects them. You know, they don't see that the outcome of all this, if it gets really negative, will really affect them. You know, there's that we're all going to be responsible,
right,
for what happens.
Yeah, that if the division, and that, I mean, we have a different take on this because we understand what the future of this nation is, you know, right, and what's going to happen. But, you know, I think there's too many people that are not projecting forward to where division this deep is going to lead.
Right.
And in the not so distant future, because right, it just can't keep getting worse and remain civil.
No. No, it can't. And I think there are a few out there that understand it the way we do, but the country, I think, is probably even more divided than it was at the time of the Civil War right now.
Yeah,
we just don't see it yet.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the FCC, and you talk about, you know, Dean wanted to get control of the SEC. And one question that I have, I wish Krauthammer was around. I'd like to ask him. I mean, he does have this paragraph on page 76, the second one down. It says, some clinicians consider this delusion that Americans can get their news from only one part of the political spectrum the gravest of all. And that's true. I mean, there are, if you look at CNN, if you look at, you know, NBC, ABC, they're not afraid now to come out and attack Fox News.
Yeah.
And say they're lying.
Right.
You know, that's just their conservative viewpoint. They're not telling you the truth.
And Fox News is not ashamed to come out and attack CNN.
No. And I'm in some ways, I'm glad they're not.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, I do have my own little complaint about Fox News when they bring on, I guess they have to be fair and balanced, and they bring on some really wacky people, and they just rant and rant and rant and rant. I just like, okay, I'm turning this off. You know, it's the same old
But you stuff. Have that choice, and that's right. The point that Krauthammer was making, is that you question the intelligence of your average American citizen when you say, like, well, we have to break up this news channel or this news network because we think that they're biased, or we think that they're misleading, and so therefore they need to be done away with, as if someone doesn't have the option to just change the channel.
Yeah. But Fox does bring on opposite views,
right,
off of viewpoints all the time. But I just hate when they get into the argument. I mean, it's like just the rant.
It's so circular.
Like
it's both sides. Too many talking heads.
Yeah. But he says, he goes on to say, he says, they report that no matter how many times sufferers in padded cells are presented with flashcards with the symbols ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, NPR, PBS, Time, Newsweek, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, they remain unresponsive, some in a terrifying near catatonic torpor. So can you imagine trying to watch all those channels? It would drive you crazy.
Yeah. And in a way, I think that the glut of information available to people there's some really, really interesting scientific studies on the overwhelmingness that accompanies the power of choice, that if you have too many choices, you can actually get overwhelmed and lock yourself into no choices,
right,
and sort of pick one and say, well, this is, and I'm just curious how much that happens in the media world, where there is so much out there, not just with TV, you've got your main networks on TV, and then you've got your cable networks, but now with the internet and just sort of anybody being able to be out there and have an opinion, the overwhelming power of choice in that sense of I can tune into whoever I want to tune into. And that kind of overwhelms people, and then they just stick with what they know.
Yeah.
And so the power of choice doesn't really mean anything because there's too much. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. Yeah. Just with
it's a real phenomenon out there. Well, the one thing recently that my wife and I are both just chortled about was I think it was even just a rerun of Home Alone, where there was a vignette of President Trump in it.
Oh yeah, he makes a little appearance
in there.
Yeah,
they took it out.
That was Canada, I believe.
Canada took it out of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, Canada?
And to be fair, when they air movies on TV, yeah, they edit things out of them. I mean, a movie that's played on TV, they got to cut some things out to make time for commercials. Yeah. But whoever was doing it was definitely like, what can we afford to cut out of this movie that no one's really going to cause a fuss about?
Oh, yeah, they're going to love
President
us.
Trump's in there?
Yeah, President Trump.
Oh, we'll cut out. Cut
and
out
it
his,
was like
his 2 minutes.
Yeah, where's this room? And it was like pointing his finger.
Yeah,
it was like
it's such a little thing, but
they probably
that
paid,
30 seconds is really important.
Yeah, they paid
us.
More to the editor to take it out than it was to leave it in. So, but they, we'll just read the conclusion here. It says, "The sad news is there is no cure, but there is hope. There are many fine researchers seeking that cure. Your donation to BDS Foundation, no matter how small, can help." Now he's being totally facetious here. There's no Bush derangement syndrome foundation. He says mailing address Republican National Committee, Washington D.C. Attention, Psychiatric Department. Just make sure your amount does not exceed $2,000 and $4,000 for a married couple. So anyway, he's protecting. People from getting in trouble for donating too much to the Republican National Committee. So anyway, any other thoughts you have on that essay?
I just think that it's a fascinating little piece of history that shows how little things have changed. You know, I think if you read that one, it's an interesting look back on pretty recent history, and it also just shows you again, if you have any view of history, even something as recent as this, 15, 16 years ago, that it's all patterns. It's all strategies. Everything right. that we're seeing, the media uproar, the vilification, the mudslinging from both sides, it's not anything new. It's a strategy. It's politically expedient for, you know, people to jump on board. And it's the same old thing over and over again. And it's just partisan politics. And so, you know, you have to kind of step back from the fray and step back from the frenzy and just observe the patterns of history, even with something as recent as this, and just recognize it's a strategy. It's a political strategy. And regardless of, you know, who's right and who's wrong, it is about partisan politics.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. Well, I think the one thing that I just say I'll give as my final takeaway on this is, to me, this essay has proved more than anything else I've read recently that the truth that history repeats itself.
Oh yeah,
it's just unbelievable, and in some ways I'm really, really, you know, I spent about probably a good 4 or 5 hours just researching the back of it, behind it, and it was just, I think it's probably the most valuable research I've done in quite a while. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. So next time, we're going to invite Mr. Brandon back, and we're going to discuss the essay, The Mirror Image Fallacy.
I'm looking forward to it.
So I'm happy you're coming back. So remember now, we are well into our series titled A Tribute to Charles Krauthammer. We are reading selected portions of his book of essays, Things That Matter. Now, there's a lot more to come. The more I read, the more I want to read. So we might be reading all the essays before this is over. But you can buy this book at Amazon.com. You can find a used copy of the book at abebooks.com. And, of course, you can also check your local library. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. Why don't you write and let us know how you like James and I together on the radio? We'd like to hear from you. So you can follow JBL on Twitter at JBLiterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.